We are pleased to welcome back Andy Lowe. We've talked to him before. You know our passion here about agriculture and folks working in that industry. We are also very much concerned about public health, especially rural health. And Andy is executive director of the New England Rural Health Association. He's also an instructor at UMass Chan Medical School's Department of Family Medicine and Community Health. Andy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. It's great to be back with you.
Well, we know you've been really busy, and I want to jump right into the conversation. So you mentioned before we turned on the microphone, Andy, that things have been crazy busy with you. I'm sure one of those things that has got you very much engaged, at least from the perspective of the New England Rural Health Association, is on the heels of you having your New England-wide conference here in New London a few months back. On the heels of that came a big announcement out of the governor's office in Hartford regarding a support for rural health here in Connecticut.
Yes, the Rural Health Transformation Program has been a really major stride in helping to support rural health around the country, and it's been a process that a lot of people have been working on for about the last 6 months, and we're finally seeing some pretty significant funding that's about to be coming out through the program.
Now, is this funding that is restricted to a select number of specific initiatives, or is it more able to be applied in a more discretionary way, depending on the strengths, weaknesses, or needs of the particular agencies that are getting the funding?
Sure. The program is coming, the funding is coming down from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, at the federal level. And all 50 states are getting this funding, and they're mostly getting around or a little less than $1 billion. It's billion with a B over 5 years. And there were some very specific areas of focus in the in what CMS wanted to do with it, and each state was able to choose what their priorities would be. And for Connecticut, they picked population health outcomes, workforce, data and technology, and care transformation and stability as those are the large categories, and then there are areas underneath that can be done. So there's pretty broad room for certain organizations to be able to apply for this funding. There will be requests for proposals coming out from the state, and some will be competitive. There will be some awards that will go to organizations that have already been identified too. So organizations are going to want to watch for those who are doing good work in rural health, because some of this funding will be certainly available.
So in regards to the areas of application for the funding, looking across the patchwork of New England states that you oversee through your organization, when you're looking at Connecticut, is there a particular directive that you see as being in need of or deserving of more of a concentration of this funding?
Certainly, I think everyone I talk to across New England, and there's no exception in Connecticut. Workforce is a huge issue for rural health providers, and that could include hospitals serving rural populations or clinics such as federally qualified health centers. And we just hear that there's so much need for staffing, and it's people like doctors and nurses, but it's also people don't always realize that it's other staff. It could be medical assistants, it could be front desk staff, it could be behavioral health, and so on. And so that's one of the really big ones, I would say. And then this idea of care transformation. One of the things about this funding, this is one-time funding. There's a five-year window to get this funding. And the idea is to really transform rural health, not just to prop up existing organizations. I mean, they need help. There's no question. But the concept is to transform rural health by trying some new things. So I think there's going to be a real emphasis on innovative ways of looking at transforming rural practice.
Have you in your networks and associations with other similar professionals in rural health administration across the country, do you see a template in a program that is already working positively that can be more easily and efficiently integrated here in Connecticut if they do end up going with a concentration of effort on that workforce support?
There are some innovative things happening out there. One of the things that we see is some of the rural hospitals are doing really exciting things to retain staff. It's not just about recruiting new staff, but to retain staff. And they're doing things, of course, there are things like benefits, but there's some good work going on to engage staff more in the actual strategic direction of the organization and to involve them that way. There are also some really interesting things going on around keeping healthcare staff healthy. There's a surprising number of people who have work-related disabilities and injuries, and especially as we see burnout being a factor, there could be some mental health issues there. Sure. And so there's some really good work being done in areas like occupational medicine to prevent those things from happening and to get people back into the workforce as soon as possible. So it's not always about just like cranking out new doctors out of the educational system. It's about keeping the people that you have working and keeping them healthy and engaged in what they're doing.
Well, I guess the final specific question on this subject is, you're able to kind of see from a high place across, once again, the New England states, and you have at least a pretty good idea of how much money needs to be infused into a project or a program in order to be implemented, be carried out, and ultimately be successful. So when you're looking across just the handful of New England states and then multiplying that out across the entire nation, does $1 billion in comparison, you know, have the potential to move the needle?
If the funds are really invested in some of these transformational activities, it can make a difference. Now, it's important to be aware that we have the same bill, the big, beautiful budget bill that resulted in the Rural Health Transformation Program, also instituted some major cuts to Medicaid services, and they are going to kick in at the beginning of 2027. All of the rural health transformation money that's going out would only account for about a third of the losses due to that Medicaid funding that rural health will see. And it's important to note that rural health transformation money cannot be used to supplant that Medicaid funding. It really isn't. That's not an allowable use of it.
Not a horse of a different color, in other words.
Yeah.
A third of a horse of a different color.
Exactly. So it's going to be important. It's important for people to realize that the rural health transformation funding is can be used to really try to jumpstart some new ways of doing things in rural health. But at the same time, there's going to be money that's lost through those Medicaid cuts. What that means is there are going to be people who used to be covered by Medicaid who are some of them will now be uninsured. And so hospitals and clinics are going to have to pick up the cost of care for uninsured. So that's going to make them more vulnerable. So it's really important to use these RHTP funds wisely to help strengthen our rural health providers for the future.
Yeah, that's a great way to wrap up the subject, Andy. Thanks. In terms of other things that are going on with the New England Rural Health Association, whether it's here in Connecticut or as Connecticut being a part of a larger multi-state or New England-wide network, what else is going on in your office that's either keeping you up nights or giving you a reason to get up in the morning?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of things that can be viewed as threats to the system right now. But one of the areas that we really focus on is flipping the narrative from surviving to thriving. And there's some really good work happening out there in various places. And one of the things we try to do is to help share best practices that we're seeing across New England. And Connecticut, there are some providers who are doing some really great things. We just actually had two new board members come on for represent Connecticut and from the Northwestern Hills region, both of them. And they have brought some really good insights to our organization. And at the same time, they're able to learn from what's going on elsewhere. There are some just really exciting things happening at our small hospitals and clinics in rural areas. Again, as we discussed around workforce, yeah. People that are doing interesting things with workforce and recruitment. There's some really, really exciting things happening with rural residencies for medical students working in going to rural provider organizations to do their residencies and hopefully practice there once they're through their residency. There are some really thrilling things that are coming down the horizon. Some of the technologies involving AI, for instance, are going to make it easier for our small healthcare providers to capture more of the revenues that they're missing. The billing and coding is a very arcane science, and some of those AI technologies can be good. So I think there are a lot of reasons to be positive, and at the same time, we're watching the horizon for places where we need to advocate in Washington and in Hartford and all of the state capitals, too.
Well, let's spend the last few minutes that we have together talking about areas where Connecticut lawmakers, health professionals, public health, point people. Talk to us about a couple of areas where Connecticut might look to, virtually next door or up the highway into one of or a few of our other New England neighbors, where you see really exciting things that are happening that we haven't really talked about yet.
Yeah, I think one of the areas that we really can look at are things like doing interstate licensing, so that medical professionals can work across state lines, especially as we start doing telehealth. That's one of the ways that we can actually address the workforce shortage is to have telehealth, and the providers may not necessarily be in the same state. So there could be providers that could provide services in Connecticut, but they would be from another state, and they have to be licensed to treat patients that are in Connecticut. And so we're looking at one of the things we're looking at regionally is to see if we can do more around interstate licensing compact that would enable that to happen. There are some really exciting things going on with consults between small organizations and tertiary care hospitals. Small providers, a lot of times, really what they need to be able to do is pick up the phone and get a quick quick answer about a patient they have, rather than having to put that person in an ambulance and transfer them to a large hospital. It can just take a quick conversation. And there's some policies that are going on that can restrict that. There was concerns about liability. So that's one of the things that has, I know in Vermont, there's an effort to make those consultations easier and more streamlined. But once again, we have so many patients who are being seen by providers across state lines. It's really important for us to realize that we are a region of small states, and we have hospitals and clinics that are treating people from across the state line, and we got to be able to make sure that care is accessible to people, regardless of where either the patient or the provider is located.
Great. As Connecticut awaits what could be a significant injection of funding to support rural health initiatives, it's great to check in again with Andy Lowe. He's executive director of the New England Rural Health Association, really giving us more of a regional perspective, as well as keying in on some of the good things that Connecticut is doing and some of the ways that Connecticut might look to other states to get a jump start on projects that may help our rural public health initiatives. Andy, great to chat with you once again, and thank you so much for taking time to catch us up on this latest matter.
Thank you, John. Great, as always, talking to you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.